Thank you all for spending your afternoon together as a family. You had lots of choices that you could have done. Thank you so much for making the choice to be with the family of God. Thank you to all those who prepared food today, and it was greatly appreciated, and always enjoy our fellowship meals together for the fellowship and for the food. It's always a great time. And though your bodies may want to doze off, you hang with me for just a few minutes. I promised Patrick that I would not make this the normal 40, 45 minutes. So we'll try to shorten this up. 35 should suffice, right? No, I just have a few minutes here, a few thoughts that I'd like to share. Tuesday's a big day in our country for a lot of different reasons. Friday, Lisa and I went out, stood in the line, did our early voting. And I don't know if it's just this year that we live in the moment, but it sure seems like a lot of people are interested in voting this year. And maybe the turnout won't be any bigger than before, but it sure seems like it. I know we stood in line for 45 minutes to vote Friday, and that's early voting, so I can only imagine. Maybe Tuesday will be the day to go. Maybe that's when you'll just breeze through. But there is some excitement with an election, and there is some anxiety. And every year I think about the same thing. What does God require of me? As a child of God, what is it that God expects me, with me? Should I vote? Should I not vote? Who should I vote for? Should I vote for the person who is popular, who people around me tell me to vote for? Who's the one that God would have me to vote? Where should I cast my vote? Or does God even ask me to cast a vote? You know, when you look in Scripture, there's just not a text that you can pull out, you know, about voting. What we do is we have to infer from what God's told us about how we use our vote. And I think of the passage in Thessalonians where Paul says to those brethren, abstain from all forms of evil. And I'm not saying that flippantly. I think that's important for us to remember. Does our vote, what does it represent? What does it represent before God? What does it represent before others? How should I use my vote? You think about all the different ways people use their vote. Some people think about the economy. And they think, I'm going to use my vote for the candidates who whom I think are going to do the best with the economy, that are going to turn the economy around, are going to put the most bucks in my pocket. Others go to the voting booth and they vote because of foreign policy. Either they think we need to be aggressive in foreign policy, or maybe they think we need to be more passive. Others go for domestic policies, for social issues. And none of those things are bad or good reasons to vote in and of themselves. But I think as a child of God, how I vote should come from who I am as a member of the Lord's body. And so, as Paul told the Thessalonians, I need to be careful about all the things in my life that I do, that I never represent evil by my actions or by my words. I need to represent what's good, what's holy. There was a passage I thought about in this regard in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, Paul wrote about some of the evil things that were going on. And if we know our Roman history, we know that it was in the first century that some of the things, some of the evil activities that Rome was getting into had begun. We think about homosexuality, pedophilia. We think about the evil they did to people they disagreed with Jewish people, and then later the Christians. And so he's writing to a Roman church who would be facing these things. And in chapter 1, he spends some time talking about those things. And he spends a lot of time talking about those who were atheistic, who claimed there was no God. He dealt with those who were mistaken towards sexuality. And I want you to notice what he says at the very end of the chapter. Begin in verse 28. And even as they did not retain or did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Kids, listen up. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. What a list. I mean, he is just charting out all these troubles that we have. All the pitfalls that we face. Just the Romans, right? We see those things in our own lives, see them in the lives of others. And he lists all those things. And I want you to know, notice verse 32, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. We're deserving of death, aren't we? It's what our sins have earned us, Romans 6:23. Of course, that passage goes on to say, I am thankful for grace, but forgiveness is the gift of God. And then he ends, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. And notice, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. I think this is appropriate for the way I cast my vote. What am I approving of when I cast my vote? When I'm talking about morality, it may be important for me to cast a vote that the economy gets better. And there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is those day-to-day things that are, you know, just things that are going to make us happy, those can't supersede morality. Those can't supersede the request of God, the desires of God, the commands of God. When I cast my vote, I need to be careful that I'm not making approval of evil things like abortion, homosexuality. You let me be a little plain speaking there. I guess I've already said it. But those things are evil. And that's a whole different lesson study that we can get into. But what does my vote say about those things? Do I give that consideration? I'm not telling you which party to vote for, which politician to vote for. We've all got to make that decision. But we need to make sure that our vote that we cast is not something that is approving of evil. What about as we move into Wednesday? This is my big thought right now. I've been thinking a lot about Wednesday. What changes Wednesday? What does Wednesday look like? It's a scary day. It is a scary day for me. I know many Americans think about Wednesday. What does Wednesday look like? I don't know. And you don't either. as far as who wins, who loses. I don't know who that's going to be. What I do know is that no matter who wins, they're there because God has allowed it to happen. Romans chapter 13, it is God who sets authority in place. And so I was looking at Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, to me, Isaiah here is giving us some encouragement. He's giving us the true reality. The world can make us doubt, can make us concerned, can make us worry, can make us think that here and now is the only thing. When reality is God holds the earth in the palm of his hands. And no matter who wins what election, whichever election, God is still in control. Notice Isaiah 49. We back up to start at verse 14. Notice what Isaiah says. He says, "But Zion said, 'The Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me.'" There's some Christians who believe that. Some Christians look at our country and they start to think, has God forgotten us? Has God forsaken us? There were some Israelites who thought, who had the idea that God had forgotten them. Isaiah reminds them of something, beginning of verse 15. "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your sons shall make haste. Your destroyers and those who laid you waste shall go away from you. Lift up your eyes. Look around and see. All these gather together and come to you. As I live, says the Lord, you shall surely clothe yourselves with all as an ornament and bind them on you as a bride does." We may be concerned and worried about the future of America. The reality is this country is not promised to continue on as it always has. Freedom's a gift. And Ronald Reagan probably said it best when he says freedom is only a generation away from going away. And that's true. Our country is momentary. We're actually pretty young in comparison to some older places. God's never promised us America. He's never promised us freedom in this world. What God has promised us is his kingdom, the church. Jesus says, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it. The church will endure. The kingdom of God will endure. So I don't know what the future of this country is. And we need to be sober in thinking about our voting. That's one of the reasons why. However, our hearts should be established with hope. A hope not in a leader, not a hope in a president or a congressman or a governor, but a hope in a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We should look for the same hope as Zion needed to look for here in Isaiah 49. The hope of God. The hope of heaven. So as Tuesday comes and goes and we move into Wednesday, what does Wednesday look like? I don't know in regard to this country, but I do know one thing. That on Wednesday, if Jesus hasn't returned, the church will still be here. His word will still abide. And there will still be hope because of our Lord, because he lives. Because he lives, I have hope. Do you have hope today? Do you have a hope of tomorrow? and you see beyond the physical world, or is all your care based upon or based in this world in which we physically live? You need a greater hope. You need something that won't let you down. Look to our Lord and Savior. If you're not a Christian, why not make that change today? Why not take hold of that hope, that promise of a future? If you're not a Christian, come forward, confess Him as your Lord, repent, and be baptized in His name so that you may wear His name proudly. If you're a Christian who's lost your hope, why not seek it out again? Why not return as the prodigal did, and He will receive you back into His kingdom? If you have any need, please come as together we stand and sing.